You want to use the aluminum can for your Hanukkah, you mean?
If you didn't want to use one.
Use like an empty aluminum can. I would be hesitant on that. Mice, I think the minhag of them is that once you open them, you throw them out. So you'd have a little tikkun in it to make it a kli, maybe. If you cut it through half through and you made it, you know, and then you use it, that, I mean, I don't think it's safe to use it. It's not so safe because of the cut, you know. I don't like that, but perhaps that would be fine. You did a tikkun, you made it into a kli. But to use it as is and just stick it in, you know, I think right now it's taka. There it's taka. It's mamash made to discard like that. Okay, so that's the when. So we touched a little bit on what should you use. So the preferred thing to use is olive oil. Mr. Burris says that if you have a choice of something else, so he brings a lot of sheets which say that wax candles, because they have a very nice clear light, would be the second preferred thing. So if you don't have an option of using olive oil, you would use wax candles. So that's fine. Okay. So the wear has a few hashlachot for the wear. So let's talk about the wear for a little bit. So the first wear is where do you place it in your bias. The second wear is which bias do you place it in, and all the issues of traveling, etc. Like what's considered your home. And a person has multiple places, he's sleeping in one place, he's eating in another place, etc. So those are both where questions, but they're two different questions in the where. So the first question is, where do you put it? So again, it was Manchazal, they put it outside by the street. Mr. Bechlok's Rishonim, was that by the door of the house or the door of the chutzner? That's not really relevant for us, the mice here in America, so I'm not going to get involved in that. I have gotten shilas on it in Eretz Yisrael because you have situations where some of these houses do have containers in front. So do you like by the former Talmidim have called me. My son called me one time. Where do we light? You know, type of a situation because they thought I had that. Really should be a source of Pesach that you're lighting by the Pesach of the Chatzar. There wasn't a source of Pesach, so they actually built a source of Pesach on the opening of the Chatzar. Different time. But we're lighting inside. So where do you light? So if you're going to be lighting and you are placed where you are is within 20 amas above the street level, so it's still visible from the street, so you light by a window which is facing outside. Now let's clarify this into the window. The Mora only gives an option of lighting outside, and B'shas HaShmad, you light inside. Al HaShulchan. What are we doing inside? We're saying...
B'shas HaShmad.
What?
B'shas HaShmad.
There's danger of keeping mitzvahs. So... It is a good question why we light inside nowadays. Most of the places given the Shulchan said that, you know, that it wasn't mamash an act of shmad. There was things change. So the minute we light inside, we light inside. The ikar lock is for the bnei bayis. That doesn't change. But since the mice right now it is safe, we also light for the people in the street. But that's not to conclude that the Iker Halakha is for the Bnei Bayis, not for the people in the street. The people in the street are secondary. If you can get that also, why not get that also? A Laurel Lane would be a situation where that would be dangerous. You go back to lighting on the Shulchan and that's it. So we're lighting the Iker, so it has to be in a way that the Bnei Bayis can see it. So you have a menorah which has a backing to it. So the menorah is like, I have a back. So you either face it inwards and you'll see that there is, and you won't see it outside, or face it outwards, you won't see it inside. You have to face it inwards. Because the Iker Luck is for the Bnei Bayis, not for the people outside. That's an important lacuna to understand. Okay, so if you're on the fifth floor and you're above 20 amos off the ground, so there's no reason to light for the outside because nobody can see it anyway. The more it says it above 20 amos, people don't notice it. So then you just light for inside. So where do you light? So... there's a shiltus which says that the correct place to light is by the doorway. This way you have the mezuzah on one side, the ner chanuk on the other side. The Baal HaBayis walks through and he has these surrounded by mitzvahs, and that's where Dan HaShulchan Aruch, that you should light by the Pesach. So the Maila of Chalom overrides the Maila of Pesach. So if you're low enough that you can do that, you do that. Now, so that's step number one: where to place it in the house. When you're if it's the getter by the pastor, so the question with which you know, you put the mezuzah. You mean their chana can be small. What does it mean their chana can be small? And what if you don't have an option to be small? That should be. So somebody has the gelam ice, so please you can ask me afterwards. It's not the sort of game for the balkan. Yeah.
If the menorah is above 20 amos from street level, but there's an apartment right across where other people can see, does that change anything?
The answer to that is it's machlokes. My understanding is that if you can light by the door, if you're filling all the locals how to light by the door, then it's better light by the door. Because that's, you know, the Ikar Lokka was for the people in the bias. That we asked about the mice, so you want to count the mile of lighting Pesumanisa for the street. This is not for the street. This is for the guy across the way. That's a mile, whatever. It's a mile. Of course it's a mile. But that should override the mile of Pesach. I don't think it will override the mile of Pesach. But doing Pesach right is not so easy. So if you're not going to get Pesach right, so then you might as well do, you know, why not? You get the doing by the Pesach right, so then I would say that. But the mice are somewhat like this. So whatever you do, you have something to rely on. Okay. We'll talk about the arrangement, how you set it up, and which direction you light. That's a separate question. That's on the how, on the where. If a person has multiple places, options of where to light, so the Ramah says the Mokam Achila Zikr. We already pointed out Mokam Achila just means that's where you eat regularly. That's where you take your meals. As opposed to, one time I happened to go to a friend for a meal, that's not called Mokam Achila. But where I to take my meals, that's called Mokam Achila. If I go for Shabbos, I'm only there for Shabbos. But for Shabbos, that is my Mokam Achila. That's really where I am for Shabbos. So that's also Mokam Achila. Where shall a bacher light? So we say Mokam Achila. What do you mean by Mokam Achila? So, well, it means you should light in the dining room. Because that's Mokam Achila. So that's clearly not what it means. Because this issue of which bias you're lighting at, they never lit in the dining room. They lit in the street. So what do you mean Mokam Achila versus Mokam Shina? So obviously the point of you have two places that you live. You're lighting by the place where you can get the most publicity, but which house of the two? So Mokam Achila is not describing which room in the house you're lighting, it's describing which house you're lighting versus other houses. It's also, you don't have to light in the dining room, you have to light in the building where your dining room is. So if you have a dormitory where you sleep, and you have a dining room, you have a building which has the dining room and other rooms as well, you don't have to light in the dining room per se, you have to light in a makam, in the building where the makam achil is. Assuming those rooms are used, that would be a place to light from the street, etc. So over here, the marshal, we don't light in the dining room. Before they frosted these windows, we used to light over here in the dining room because then you would be able to see it by the street. And then once they frosted the windows for the safety purposes, so that doesn't work anymore. So we light over here in the hallway, in the front hallway, because that's not Makam Achila. Well, it's not Makam Achila. I mean, you don't really take your meals in the hallway. So, but that's not a problem. That's called Makam Achila. This is relevant for Hilchos Shabbos also. If I'm sleeping, I'm eating one place and I'm sleeping in another place. What do I light near a Shabbos? Mokam Achila. There is by Hilchos Shabbos, just Agav, there is a halacha of hadlaka b'mokam shina also. You have to have lights in both places. Any place you're going to be using for Shabbos, there has to be some level of light there, otherwise it's not safe. And it will undermine shalom bias, etc., because you're walking around in darkness and tripping over each other. The people tend to get, you know, scream and yell playing somebody else when that happens usually. So it's not going to be like, why'd you put that there? Like, you know, it's like, well, you should have looked, you know, like, use your feet carefully, you know. No, it's all somebody else's fault. That's shalom bias. It's makabi to light in Makam Shina as well, even if you're going, you will light both places, and you will make the brach on the Makam Achila. Okay, I'm going to put that in parenthetically, Hilchos Shabbos. Now, however, let's say you have multiple people eating together. So the Ikra Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is if you're multiple eating together, only one person makes a bracha on the Makom Achila by Shabbos. Not by Chanukah, but by Shabbos. The Rambam says, no, our minhag is to make a bracha, multiple balabatim eating in the same place, which are not totally in balabais and guests. They're all, you know, we're all getting together. They used to go to the Syrian once or twice a year. They used to have these big fairs where they would buy and sell large amounts of merchandise. So you would have many balabatim eating in this dining room of the inn. Each one was not better than the others. Each one was independent. So Al-Kahaya, you're all making the same bracha on what's going on. That's our minute. But over there, it's clear in the halacha that if that's the option, Makom Shina is better. The person has a choice of lining Makom Shina, which is their private area, and lining Makom Achila, which is a communal area. Two pronunciations, both are correct. We are still Shitas. So if you have a choice in the two, it's better to light Makom Shina. So people ask me, Shalom, what happened on Shabbos? Where to light? If you choose to light in Makom Shina, okay, now let's go to the next step. Makom Shina, if you're sleeping by somebody's house, and they're there for Shabbos, they're lighting there. See, get back to square one. First of all, they're not going to let you light in the bedroom. So you're not really lighting in your Makom Shina. So lighting in their dining room has nothing to do with your bedroom. That's Bechal not shayach to you. And they're lighting there anyway. So then you should light Makom Achila. So that's why it gets complicated. When you light Makom Achila by Hedlach and Nershav, it has to be actually, that's actually a halacha and where you're actually eating. Because the purpose of the halacha is to enhance the meal. So I got a call from a bucker here, was a mashkiach for a Pesach hotel. And he tells me that he had the dining room set up. And the place where they put the candles was in the hallway outside around the corner from the dining room. I said that's worthless. You're not getting anything over there. It's not Makom Achila. The purpose over here in Makom Achila means it should be a place where it's enhancing the meal. There's light there. I went to a different time with somebody. I went through an event for Shabbos. So they didn't want to put it in the dining room because they're going to rearrange the dining room after the night, trying to meal for a different table arrangement. So they put it out in the front lobby. They put out food in the front lobby. So my wife asked me what I think about that. So I said, well, let's get this clear. Before the Zman Hadlaka, nobody's eating there because everybody's very busy. After you light an alarid, so you have a meal. We're having the meal inside the dining room. And then afterwards, when you come out, the food's gone. So I'm not sure. It's nice that there's like there's this ceremonial food there, but didn't accomplish anything. Now, the irony of the whole thing was that this was actually a halacha conference. And like Mark said, I told Mark to not lie with a bracha that week. Because I hold you not allowed to die in the hotel room. Because there's a clear clause, you're not allowed to make an open fire in the hotel room. So it's halos gezeila to do that. So you can't light it in the hotel room. So we brought along an electric, I always bring along a little electric nightlight. Just in case. But in Russia, you make a bracha on electric. I don't want to make a bracha on electric. So I thought at least she was yotze hadlaka with that, from the Russia. So she lived in the hotel room. And that was it. And I said, I'm asking, I wasn't, I was like a lower tier person, and I have no idea what in the world they were thinking. But I never asked them, because I wasn't sure who made the decision. So strange things about hotels and halakha's neighbors. Okay, that's Hilchos Shabbos. Getting back to Hilchos Chanukah, Hilchos Chanukah is not a halakha in that room specifically. Okay, so if a person has a choice between a Makom Achila and a Makom Shina, the Makom Achila is Ikur. Rashi comes along and says like this. Rashi says if they're going to allow the Makom to light in the dorm in their own rooms, or light in the dining room, which is going to be this massive communal lighting ceremony, it's better to light in the dorm. Each person has their own private place over there. That's clear in halacha. When you light multiple together, you have to light it in such a way that it's distinct. You can see the neighbors are separate. So I can tell how many neighbors you're lighting, and that you're each one is separate halacha. You can't put them like bunch them right next to each other. So you have a large yeshiva that's going to be very, very challenging. Over here, we're not grappling with that issue yet. That's Hashem. But meanwhile, Say a brain. But meanwhile, you know, it's, you know, you can spread it out. You can see it. The some are higher, some are lower, etc. It's easier to see. But that is an important point when you're lighting at home and there's like a little bit of area to light. You know, there's like six kids lighting. You know, they really should make sure that everybody has their own distinct place to light. It shouldn't meld into one. Now, how far are you able to see it? Have to be able to see it from? Obviously, you know, 100 feet away, you're not going to be able to tell so well anyway. But it means nearby, it should be obvious with a quick glance that they're distinct and separate. So let's say a person is in yeshiva, and he's going away for Shabbos. So, calls when he's in yeshiva. Hold one second. Now, there's actually in Merakhar is a rule where he says he asked about the yeshiva bachurim lighting, and he said they should light in the base medrash because that's the makom where that's why they're there. They're not at home. Is they can't wait from home to be in the yeshiva. That's the ikar makom that they are. They said most of the day in the yeshiva, learning, etc. So that's the ikar makom. She's like the base medrash.
The building of the base medrash is in.
So again, it'll be the building the base medrash is in. It'll be the same idea. So over here, I think you have the mile over here. You know, mitzad that it's another hakarah to light over here as opposed to lighting over there. Now there's certain guys which actually the door might be where they spend the ikar of their time, right? So they should ask me privately afterwards.
Who said that? The Rishonim.
One of the Rishonim already said that. According to that, by the way, now according to his sheet, really, when there's a lock in base matter, which we do first, theoretically everybody's here except without a lock. You're part of this group. Your makom is the base medrash. You're part of that group. So the lock of the, but since you plan to light separately, it's no different than when you light at home. The father lights first. Since now he's your base, so he was really yotzer everybody. But you plan to light separately. You were not yotzer with that. But let's say you're traveling and you can't get back right as mine. You say, well, you hope something. Do have me in mind. The person you should say have me in mind. The person lights on the base medrash because that's really the makom achila, the makom base medrash, and then the first halacha. So let him be yotzer with that. You know, that's your natural place to be yotzer is with the halacha, which will take place in base medrash. Especially because over here we eat in base medrash also. That was a joke. That wasn't real. Let's say a person's traveling. So let's start with. So a bachur is a unique situation. The case with the gentleman traveling with, you know, the person's leaving his home, and he's away from home for a certain amount of days. What does he do? A bachur, usually the situation is he's leaving yeshiva and going home. So yeshiva is his home, and his home is his home. When he's home, that's his, you know, that's home. Why is this relevant? This is relevant, let's say, Motzi Shabbos. Or Sunday night, we have off Shabbos. The guy's up there Monday morning. He has a 9:30 flight, so he's still at home Sunday night. Mokum halakha. This is my halakha. Right? I think the last night of Hanukkah is Sunday night, right? So if he still be home, this is my halakha. But he's not going to be sleeping that at home that night. He'll be back in yeshiva ready by that night. Or Motzi Shabbos, the guy's coming back Motzi Shabbos. You know, when he's there for Shabbos, and he'll be back to where his real place is, Motzi Shabbos. Calls a man, you're in your home is your home. So if that's a normal place for you to be, that's your home. So that it's the fact that you're leaving later on tonight doesn't make a difference. Well, I'll end up eating supper when I get back and sleep in yeshiva tonight. I don't care, but calls on your home. That's your makom achil, makom shinu, when you're home, that's your place, that's valid. Vice versa. The guy's leaving. He's leaving Thursday night. You know, he ate supper in yeshiva. He's not sleeping in yeshiva tonight. He's actually eating at home tonight. But you're in the yeshiva's zman halacha. You light in yeshiva because it's still your makom until you leave. So that makes. Now let's say your guy's already married, and you're going to somebody else's house. So that's a little more complicated. So he goes over to Shabbos, and he planned to go back home on Shabbos. So really, the preferred idea would be to actually leave as soon as the Shabbos as possible and get back and light back in his home, not where he was for Shabbos. So that really would be the preferred option to do. But there's an argument. Calls man, you didn't leave the ma'isa that you were there for Shabbos, and that was your makom achila and shina for Shabbos. That's what you'd be yotzei. What about if you're eating in one place, you're sleeping somewhere else? So if you're really eating by your parents, let's say you go to the in-laws or your parents, whatever it is, that's really why you're there. They have no room for you because there's like a lot of kids coming in. They put you up by a neighbor. I don't care. The makam shin is irrelevant. The ikar is where, obviously where you're taking your meal. That's going to be your ikar makam. Okay, let's talk about Motzei Shabbos a little bit. Zman halakha for Motzei Shabbos and Erev Shabbos. And then we have to talk about the how a little bit. So the Zman halakha from Erev Shabbos is Plagam and Chanan words. However, the Neiris have to last the Tlat HaTzeis HaKachavim. So the Neiris have to last the Tlat HaTzeis HaKachavim. My oil menorah doesn't last that long, right? So I want to use a wax candle, a big candle for that purpose. So that's fine. Ikir Halakha is one there. So you don't have to do all of them with the wax. You can do one. However, there's an interesting question that the Shodar talks about in Tavresh Ayin Aleph about different types of shapes of menorahs, etc. Does a menorah all have to be the same height? Right. So this actually is a machlokes. What's the issue? The point is to be nikir that this is like a unit. So, if they're in these different shapes, you know, like you have this artistic menorah made by some Italian guy, you know, like, they designed the Mishnah here. How many guys remember the dog? What?
The dog.
You remember the letters in Base Matters?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay. You know what it was?
No, okay.
I'll tell you afterwards. Okay.
Never understood.
It was part of his idea. Okay.
It's like also on the outside of the building.
Well, they're still right.
Yeah, they're still there.
Six and six, huh?
What?
It was like six and six.
Yeah, six outside, six inside. It's a shvatim. But the reason I didn't make sense there was because he didn't like the deal of Levi was excluded, so he put Levi in. And he apparently had to put Yosef in because he couldn't have a Ephraim and Menashe because he was 13. So it was Levi and Yosef instead of Ephraim and Menashe. That's like, it threw everybody off. Like, whatever. You remember that? You know, if he's asking what it was, I would say it was the name of a Malach who watches over Bakram and Beis Medrash. Because it ended off, it was Yud Aleph Yud Lamed. Like such, you know, the Dabriel, you know, like, you know, Dabriel, you know, like, you know, you know, like, you know, like. So that people believed me. That was the scary part about it. Some people don't think I have a sense of humor. So Erev Shabbos, it has to last. So do they have to all be the same type of material and the same height? So they actually, it really is preferred to do that, if possible. They should be the same height, the same type of material. Right? So like these fancy menorahs which go in and out, the present type of menorah, which like some are further forward, some are further back, some are higher, some are lower, they're in the shape of a circle. They really discourage trying to use those type of things. Weaker than, there's a good argument that they're kosher, preferable not to use them. So, same thing over here, preferably you should try and get something which you can keep them all of the from the same type of fuel, and especially because the idea is it's all one. It's a mahadron of the same thing. So it's a good argument. Not shy. To use one wax candle, big wax candle. The rest use oil. It has to last till half an hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. How long later Tzeis HaKachavim? Whatever you hold Tzeis HaKachavim for is for other mitzvahs. The same thing is over here. So you hold 50 minutes. 50 minutes.
Really?
If you hold an hour and a half, you know, an hour, you know, 72 minutes. 72 minutes. Yeah.
The candles aren't linear, isn't it? A problem, even b'dieved. It's like not kosher, even b'dieved.
What do you mean linear?
Like if the candles are not like in a line, like if it's
it has to be some. It has to be some configuration where it's clear that they're connected. That's what's ma'akev.
So how long does it have to last total?
So, whenever you're lighting, it has to last until tzeis. So you light 20 minutes before shkia, it has to last until tzeis. Plus another half an hour after that. So, if you'll taste it, it's 50 minutes. So it has to last 80 minutes after Shkia. 20 minutes till Shkia, that's 100 minutes. It has to last 100 minutes. If you're lighting 40 minutes before Shkia, it's going to have to last 120 minutes, you know. So whatever you calculate, it's going to add half an hour and then work backwards. You cannot light before Plaga Mincha, though. That's you can't, you know, go early. So I menorah lasts for 4 hours. That's very nice, but you cannot let for a plug a minute. Person should light Neir Chanukah before Neir Shabbos. Neir Shabbos when you make Kabbal Shabbos, etc. Motzei Shabbos. So we really want to prefer time as the light as early as possible before we lose the people in the shuk. So in shul, the psak is hadlokas neiris of the shul and then havdol. Home, machlokas, or chashukman says the minig is havdol and then hadlokas neiris. But it is appropriate to have the neiris set up beforehand if possible, so immediately afterwards you can light without a time lapse. As a general issue, b'chal, people should have things set up beforehand. This way, when it comes to the right time to light, they're ready to light. But Matzah Shabbos, it's even more. Nowadays, again, we light inside, so it's not makiv. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much more complicated. Eretz Yisrael, you're lighting for the street, it's much more of an issue. You really, really make this amount of lives. Okay. The accurate way to light is like the Shulchan Aruch, that the Gemara says there's a comment called Pinush HaTepana Al Tiyu Al Yamin. Whenever you turn, you should turn to the right. So the Shulchan Aruch understands that to mean that you move rightwards in your mitzvah. So the first night I light the Nair on the right side of the menorah. The second night I light two Nairs. I light the left one first, and then I light to the right. The fifth night I'm lighting five Nairs on the right side of the menorah. I light the most left one first, and then I light the Nairs 4, 3, 2, 1 going to the right. Tassa, that's strange. If Chazal's point is that Yamin is the most eker, so that you should light the right one first and go to the left. So the Taz says that you light the right one first and you go to the left. The Maker Minig is not like the Taz. He says, you know, like, for example, right, when you light Salah Shana Kardash, you go from right to left. I mean, you don't start from the left and go to the right. So the answer, which the Yerabba says, is yes, when you light letters, in Ksav Ashuris, you always light right from left to right. Right now, if you go like this, it's always, your hand is always moving from left to right. You put the letters on the paper from right to left, but you write each letter from left to right. Anyway, okay. I gave a share about this once, about this issue. Interesting rai and interesting response. But so the Iker Pesach is, the Mishnah Berurah says, but we have probably an Emir and Alamitzvus. The Iker Lakos is the first Nair. So you're standing over here, and then you like reach over here, meanwhile ignoring all of these Nairs. So the person should position himself each night that his right hand, where he's going to be lighting, if he's a writing, his right hand should be adjacent to the one he's lighting first. So each night he should move over a little more to the left when to light the menorah. So the first night he's lighting over here, the second night he's lighting this one, so he shouldn't put his hand here and then reach over. He should, when he's, before he makes the bracha, he should have his hand here, and then by the fifth night his hand is here and he's going like this, as opposed to having his hand here and then reach across and light over there. That's wrong. So the person should make sure that their hand is closest to the one they're going to be lighting first. When you light, you make the two brachas or three brachas the first night, all of them before you start any lighting at all. So you make all the brachas, then you start the lighting. When do you say Neiris Halol? So this is the Machlokes. But the Mishnah Berurah Zakra is based on the language of the Neiris Halol, by the way, is one of the earliest tefillahs that we have. It is found in Masechta Sofer. It's not like some, you know, Moser was composed sometime, you know, whatever. Not, you know, different, you know, I'm not so familiar with the details of that. But Hanar Salala is Mishat HaZarifim, it's a price. That you're supposed to say Hanar Salala. So Hanar Salala should be said after you finish lighting the first Nair. But until you finish lighting the first Nair, it's a hefzik between the Bracha and the Halakha. What's called finished lighting? How much lighting is called lighting? So the Gemara says that when you light a wick, it's again going to be any type of mitzvah. You light Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah, etc. You have to light Rov Hayotze. So if your wick is sticking out this much, you have to make sure that the Rov of that wick is lit. That's called Rov Hayotze. So if your wick is, you know, this high, so you have to make sure the Rov is lit before you go to the next candle. So the bigger your wick is, the more you're going to have to make sure it's lit. Now they'll just touch it and it catches on the top and I go to the next one. That's not called a law. I have to make sure that the majority of the wick is lit before I go to the next one. So the person will keep his hand with the lighting implement, whatever it is, the candle, the match, whatever it is, touch towards the base of the wick. This way the whole wick will catch flame and then go to the next one. Is that making sense? Yeah? So once you finish lighting the first one, you say Ner Salol. Now, families have different menhagim in regards to, let's say, multiple lighting. They'll say Ner Salol together at the end. Okay, you know, I'm not going to get involved in that that's correct or incorrect. Why is Ner Salol so important? Because the Chazal wanted this to be, the purpose of this halak is for the Pesumi Niso. It has to be clear why you're doing this. You're doing this for Pesumi Niso. So Chazal said you can't use the Ner for the light for anything else. The Chazal said you have to prefer the place, the height to light it. If you're setting up in your home, preferred place to place it, assuming there's no danger for kids, etc., is lower than 10 tefachim. Lower than 10 tefachim. Above 3 tefachim and lower than 10 tefachim. That's where the flame is, not where your candle is placed. You put your flame very, put candle very low, you know, the menorah very low, that the flame should be between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim. Why? Nobody puts lamps down that low. So it's obvious you're not using it for light. So what's it here for? Oh, because there was an ace. It's presuming ace. So the declaration of layers and all the reactor said that was part of that's actually part of presuming ace was to declare why you're doing this. So I'm not doing it to use it. It's also lishtamish. So why are you lighting this, which is also lishtamish? Because there was an ace, etc. So it's not stam just a tefillah. It's part of the Pesumi Nisa. Rabbi Yaakov actually says that the bracha also is part of the Pesumi Nisa as well. if there's a chalom higher than 10 tefachim, and you have since till chavam is kosher, so a lot of persons say you should try to do with the chalom also, but. I never get a clear answer on that question, which one's better. But I have a choice of putting it lower than the 10th Tefachim, which Mitzad B'nai Abayis, that's the right place to put it. And that's the Ikra Allah, because Mitzad B'nai Abayis. But I lose the Mile of a Chalom. I could put it higher and gain the Chalom. What should I do? I'm not clear on that. Okay. So he spoke about now, when you light by the Pesach, if a person lighted by the Pesach, so that's one of the questions. It's not so simple to get right. How should you set up your menorah? It's supposed to be within the Tefach Samach LePesach. So, depending on the Taz, depending on the Shulchan Aruch, depending on whether you're putting the menorah parallel to the wall next to the door, or perpendicular to the wall next to the door. What if there's a wall immediately adjacent over there? What do you do? So that gets more complicated. So again, if you have such a shaila, ask me afterwards. But that's part of this issue of calculating how to set it up properly. Over there, there's a good argument that the nair next to the door is automatically the primary nair, always. The first thing you light is the primary nair, which is going to change from night to night. If you reuse your wicks, preferably you can't be married with Kedusha. Being married a wick from being used for the primary nair, which is the Iker Mitzvah to Mahadran, you shouldn't do. So the wick that you use for the primary nair should always be the one. You should move it every night to the one you're lighting first. Am I making sense? Yeah? You can reuse your wicks. Preferably, the Bnei Ba'ai should be present. Other people should be present when you're lighting. Whoever's being Yotze with you should definitely be present, preferably. Even if it's not being Yotze with you, there's a mile of having, being, some needs of having it, you know, publicizing the names of more people. If one multiple people lighting, so. The Baal HaBayis would light first, and everybody else would light afterwards.
Does the Baal HaBayis have to light first?
He doesn't have to light first. No. But he has the rights. So. There's something else I thought of when I was talking. Just give me a second.
Okay. Something which I'm forgetting. Hope I'll come back to me. Okay. Chazal put an Isra of Malacha. You mentioned there's not just an Isra, because there's an Isra of Malacha before the Lachas Neiris. That starts a half an hour before this month. So a person really should not get involved in things which will be distracting, and for he might come to forget to do the halakha starting from a half an hour before the Zman. Those things again, the Zman is there, which we're not being makbid on the Iker Zman. So Sharma would work. The Shulchan Aruch says that those things, if you start the Zman or Iser, by Darbonos, normally this person starts to be Iser. You shouldn't have started, but once you start, we're not machad to stop you. By Neres Chanukah, since the Igros Zman is mamish, that early Zman, we're going to stop you. Because we need you to light right now. There's a minig brought down not to do malacha. Women don't do malacha for the Igros Zman while the Neres are lit. More than that, it's incorrect to be machad, because malacha is a good thing for you. It's good, it's healthy to do work. Applies to women, doesn't apply to men. Men are lazy bums anyway. Oh, no. Alanisim, if a person forgot Alanisim in Shemoneh Esrei, it's not Mahakiv. If you remember before you make the bracha, even you said Baruch HaTov, you didn't say Hashem's name, you go back to say Alanisim. Mishra Paksin is in the sort of Ve Alanisim, by the way. Ve Alanisim. If your person realized before, even he said the word Kael already, he goes back and then he davens Kaseder and says the bracha. Once you say the bracha, you don't go back. You can add it in Lakai Netzor. You can add it in benching at the end. Harachamon. Etc. So you add that phrase, Harachamon, who yasel lono nisim and he flows, commercial sisla vaseno by your member hembasmanazer, and then you say the rest of the paragraph.
For Hanukkah, do you also have to go back? Or?
What?
I'm sorry, for Purim, do you also have to go? Didn't
for Purim, it's the same sock. However, by Purim, there is a machlokes, a kubi, or not yotze. You would have to go back, make your adin. So therefore, Mr. Brewer strongly urges you not to forget, because you get involved in this machlokes, that according to the Mashita, you weren't yotzei, you need to go back. According to the Mashita, you were yotzei, you're not allowed to go back. So those are a mess, and especially when you're drunk anyway. Anytime during the Kaddish, anywhere. Yeah. And by benching, you put it in the place where you insert for the various different yamim type, and you insert it over there. Okay, let me just run over here quickly. Oh, the Din of Achsanya, which you're familiar with, it's not really so relevant. Mr. Bruce says nowadays we prefer that every person lights himself. So if I'm by somebody's house, I guess somebody's house, Iker then I could contribute and join him in the halakha. We don't do that because it's chashad, looks like you're not lighting. We don't do that. Each person lights for themselves. It's a very important mitzvah. The law is a person doesn't have the money for it. He has to sell. He has to be machshel pesach. He has to go knock on the doors to get money for it. He has to sell his clothing to get money for it. So we take this mitzvah very seriously. Leftover oil. The oil in the bottle is not a problem. Well, the bottle, do whatever you want with it. You want to use it for salads afterwards, not a problem. The oil which was left over in the nair itself, so from one night to the next you can use it. Whatever's left at the end, you can't use it. Oil is also to use anything else. It was designated for the purpose of this mitzvah. You can't use it. You would burn it. Leave it for next Hanukkah. We're afraid you're going to end up using it by mistake for something else. So leave it for Pesach, the same thing.
Can you use it for Shabbos?
No.
What do you need to move from one night to the next, like of the week?
You know, it's an interesting question. I would assume yes, but because the Chara and Svar should apply. I haven't seen anybody say it, but I would assume yes.
How do you deal with the fact that the oil gets like
congealed and stuck on the outside and on the inside. Like, what do you do with all that? Can you wash
just wash it
off?
Yeah, wash it off. Yeah. You're not machiav, you know, see, that thing goes, washes down the drain is not, a, you know. The plumber might tell you it's a problem with the oil down the drain. That's the difference. But it's not me. I'm okay with it. I don't want to, you know, touch anybody's sensitivities over here. When you light Nehru's Erev Shabbos, you should be careful that you shouldn't put it in such a way that it's potentially going to be involved in the wind putting it out, etc. You have to light your Nehru's in such a place that they're not going to go out. If they go out, you're not going to relight them. But but putting it in a place where intrinsically it's not going to last, you're not yours in the midst. So I put it, you know, where I light is like right near where the door opens. Every time the door opens, the wind comes in and blows it out. So you have a problem. Don't light over there. Erev Shabbos, even though the psak is, if the nearest kana could go out, you lit it properly, you had the right amount of oil. The right amount of fuel has to be in the nair when you light. You can't end it after. You know, I only will live now. I'll light now and I'll add more oil later. That doesn't work. There has to be enough oil in there to last the proper time. Now, you can make a tanai on that oil, by the way, that whatever oil is left over after this man, I'm not being miyach of the shei mitzvah, which means therefore I'm allowed to put out the nair once his man comes. Let them traveling that night. So I want to, you know, light the nair for the. I want to take my menorah home for Shabbos. I mean, I have it in yeshiva, I want to take it home. So I want to light here, and then, you know, after this man, I'll put it out and I'll, you know, wrap it up and take it home. So that's fine. You should make that tonight beforehand. You're not being miyach of anything, and that oil afterwards is, you know, not a problem. There has to be, everything has to be in place that when you light it, that it should last the right amount of time. So that includes the fact that it shouldn't be in a windy place as well. Erev Shabbos, but once you did that and you lit it, you're not going to relight it. You'll come say in Zakhullah. However, Erev Shabbos is different. Erev Shabbos, if it goes out when it's still within the time that you're allowed to relight it, it's still Erev Shabbos, you should relight it again before. Because it's Bechlal, it's being lighting and from Plag HaMincha, it's not Bechlal, not the Zman yet. Okay, I think I covered everything that I wanted to cover. Again, I don't have my notes.